Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Selected verses from Ephesians chapter 4 at the beginning. Put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And then the final verses. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. And then verse 29, right in the middle. Let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Last month I was in Wisconsin, and as I was driving, I saw a billboard for Thrivent. The first sign says, first line says on the sign, millions of Lutherans swear by our financial services. The second line, in parentheses, says, well, they don't actually swear. And then there's Thrivent and a telephone number and their logo on the bottom. The parentheses caught my attention. They don't actually swear. It would be wonderful if that were true, if Lutherans did not swear, if they did not say things that tore people down, if they did not tell falsehoods, if they only spoke, as Paul says, words that are kind and tender-hearted and forgiving, that build people up, who have grace involved in them. That would be wonderful if the parentheses were true. But we know it is not. And Paul identifies one of the key reasons why our words are not always so good. Anger. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Get rid of that bitterness and wrath. There's something about anger and the words we should not use that go together. It seems that the word that's all the rage is rage. Road rage, airport rage, grocery store rage. Grocery store rage must be when you're in line and the one that you've chosen moves far too slow compared to the one you were going to choose, and just as you get up to the counter, the person in front of you needs a price check. What words go through your mind, or you mutter in your breath, or you say to the person next to you, grocery store rage? There's something about anger and the words we should not use that go together. Oh, if Lutherans only would live that parentheses, they don't actually swear. But you know, it doesn't have to be little words of profanity. You can say a sentence that has no swear words at all, and it could be devastating. Words that should not come out of our mouths. Words like, I don't love you anymore. Why are you still here? Get out of here. He's such an idiot. He's a jerk. I wish you had never been born. Notice, no swear words, but the words tear down instead of build up. Words. The words we use. The words we use don't always live in the parentheses on the billboard. That's why we need a different parentheses to live in. And Paul provides that parentheses in Ephesians chapter 4. Remember the beginning? Put on this new self that has been created in God's holiness and righteousness, created for us, given to us. And at the end of that reading, to be forgiving how? As God forgave us. That's the parentheses we live in. The new self created and given by the forgiveness of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus says to his disciples one day, I am the good shepherd. The sheep hear me. They listen to my voice. And what does the good shepherd say? The good shepherd says, I have the authority to lay down my life again. And he does on the cross. And the words from the cross are the same words that we heard him speak to the paralytic. Words of forgiveness. To the paralytic, your sins are forgiven on the cross. Father, forgive them. And to us, God in Christ forgives. And that good shepherd not only has the authority to lay down his life, but he takes it up again and he gives words, wonderful words, to Mary to say to disciples, tell them, I'm risen from the dead just as I said. Wonderful words from Jesus in the parentheses. Or think of Peter. Peter, on the night Jesus was betrayed, I will never leave you, Lord. I will stick by you thick and thin. And just a little while later, you're one of him. Surely you're a Galilean. And Peter denies him, not once, not twice, but with curses and swear words. Three times, I don't know him. And the rooster crows. Jesus looks at him. And Peter weeps. The wrong words have come out of his mouth. But when Jesus, the good shepherd, has taken his life back up again, one day, those disciples, including Peter, are out fishing. They don't catch much, but Jesus on the shore, he says, well, throw your net over there. And they catch a great big catch of fish. And they, oh, it's the Lord. And Peter jumps out and he runs. And there's a breakfast waiting for them. And after they had eaten, Jesus asks Peter, do you love me more than these? Oh, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. A second time, do you love me, Peter? Yes, Lord, I love you. Take care of my lambs. A third time, do you love me? Three denials, three questions, and Peter is grieved. Yes, Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep. No words of rejection. Jesus does not say, I don't love you, get out of here, you're an idiot, you're a jerk. He simply says, words of restoration, the words that come out of forgiveness, and feed my sheep. With words, good words, wonderful words. Let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is good for building up, that it may give grace to those who hear. I heard of a children's sermon a pastor did on Ephesians 4:29, and he asked the kids just, well, what kind of good words can we use? And, oh, pay a compliment, say thank you, be cheerful, say a prayer. And then one little girl said, our words should be like little silver boxes with bows on. Gifts. Our words are to be little silver boxes with bows on. Wonderful gifts to each other. Last week I was visiting the vicars in one congregation. They had a preschool, and as I walked through the preschool, they had a sign on the bulletin board, 101 ways to praise a child. Well done, great, excellent. It's not just a child that needs a praise and good words and building up. It's adults, too. We need to hear them. So much negativity, so much criticism, so much skepticism, so much tearing down. We need to hear the words, the good words, with some grace to them. A little silver box. Wow, thank you for doing what you did. But put a bow on it. And I'm going to thank the Lord in my prayers for you as well. Or a little silver box, I love you, you're so special, and then put a bow on it. And Jesus loves you, and you're special to him. A little silver box, you really did that well. And then put a bow on it. The Lord has given you some wonderful gifts, and I really appreciate how you use them in service to him. Our words are to be little silver boxes with bowls on. Where do we live? Well, it would be wonderful if Lutherans didn't actually swear, but we can't live there. That's not who we are in this life. Where do we live? We live in a different parenthesis. We live in the new self that has been created and given to us with the forgiveness that God has given to us. And therefore, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but what fits the occasion for building people up, that it may give grace to those who hear. Or even more simply, from a words of a child. The words we use need to be little silver boxes with bows on. Amen.